Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Ram. Jaya Kunjabi, Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba, Jaya Giri Baradari. Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Gopi Janaba, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Gopi Janaba Laba, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Jaya Giri Baradari. Jaya Yasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Where's Vrindavan TV? Vrindavan TV. Yeah. Is it on automatically? Jaya. Jaya Yamuna Tirabanachari, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Yamuna. Jaya Yamuna Tirabanachari, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Yamuna. Tibi. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari, Jaya. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Gopi Jana. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Giri Baradari, Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba. Jaya Yasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Yasoda Nandana. Jaya Yasodhanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yasodhanandana Jaya Yamuna Chirabana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Ari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Ari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Vishnupa Paramansa Puriyivri Kacharya Sutra 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 Shishimadi Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Jai Vishnupa Paramansa Puriyivri Kacharya Sutra 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 Shishimadi Bhakti Siddhanta Sraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki. He is confirmed at Chaya Sri Prabhupada Ki. Nama Chaya Sri Das Thakur Ki. Granthanashma Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhakti Rinda ki, Nitai Gopi Manande. Our glory to the assembled devotees, our glory to the assembled devotees, our glory to the assembled devotees, our glory to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Where's Vrindavan TV? TV set up? Vrindavan for the. Is it live from here? Narayana namaskritya Narai chayava narutaman Devam sarasatim vyasan Tato jaya mudiraye Nasta prayesa badresu Nitam bhagavata sivaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loki Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki Vediramini Chaiva Prani Bharati Tata Hadu Adyanchi Madi Chihari Sabata Giyati Mokam Karati Vachalam Prangu Langati Griya Kipata Hambandi Sri Guru Dantarini Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Prajita Kadavuta Paramoni Masham Satam Vedam Vastavam Atavasnu Shivadanta Vatayo Molanam Shima Bhagavate Mahamani Kritinki Vaipara Ishvara Sadi Oredi Habarudi Trakati Vitakishan Yashava Shima Nayan Krishna Paranapurusha Bhakti Uttapade Punsansuka Moham Bayapaha Honamo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So this is the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the 10 to 11, right? Okay. So this is the Indra, Mother Ravi coming to Krishna in Braj at the base of Govardhan to offer prayers. So It's a wonderful text because Indra, he had committed a great offense because of his false pride. He thought himself to be supreme, to be that. When Krishna stopped his sacrifice, he became angry, and then he tried to punish the Brijavasi by sending torrents of rains and big thunderstorms and to create havoc. He wanted to destroy Braj, but Vrindavan is not a material atmosphere. Vrindavan is spiritual world, so nothing can affect Vrindavan. So Indra was basically made to feel toothless. He could not even move a single blade of grass on Govardhan Hill. So realizing his stupidity, being very, very afraid, he came to Vrindavan to beg forgiveness from Lord Krishna by offering various prayers. So today, first we read the text number 11. We're going to read text 10 to 11. But text 11, text 10 has no purport. But text 11 has got some purport. And then we'll deliberate on that. So first I read the text 10 first, and then we all chant together text 11. Okay. Namastu Bhyam Bhagavate Purusaya Mahatmane Basud. Is it? Which one you put there? This one? Okay. We're going to chant together this one? Okay. Vasudevaya Krishnaya Satvatam Pataye Namaha. Translations. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great soul who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisance is unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. So, text 11. Swachandu pata dehaya vishuddha jnana murtaye Savasmai, Savabijaya, Savabhutatmane, Namaha, Swachandapata Dehaya, Vishuddhagyana Mutaye, Savasmai, Savabijaya, Sava Bhutatmane Namaha Swachandro Patadehaya Vishuddha Gyanamurtaye Savasmai Savabijaya Sava Bhutatmane Namaha Swachandro Patadehaya Vishuddha Gyanamurtaye Savasmai Savabijaya Savabhutatmane Namaha. You can please chant. Vishuddha Gyanamurtaye Savasmai Savabijaya Savabhutatmane Namaha. Sachando pata dehaya. Matajis. Matas. Sachupada to dehaya. So, of his own, all devotees, Chanda, according to the desire, Upata, who assumes the higher, his transcendental bodies, Vishuddha, perfectly pure, Jnana, knowledge, Mutaye, whose form Savasmai, to him who is everything, Savabijaya, who is the seed of all, Savabhuta, of all created beings, Atmane, who is the indwelling soul? Namaha, obeisances. Translation and purport. Unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. Purport. We could hardly construe from the first line of this verse that God is somehow impersonal but assumes a personal material body. It is clearly said here that the Lord assumes different forms according to Swachanda, according to his own desires, or according to the desires of his devotees. An impersonal God could hardly reciprocate with the personal desires of his devotees. Nor could an impersonal God itself have desires, since desire is characteristic of personality. Therefore, the Lord manifesting different forms in a personal way, responding to personal desires, indicates that he is eternally a person and manifest his different transcendental bodies as an expression of his own eternal nature. The word Vishuddha Jnana Mutaye is most significant. Muti means the form of the deity, and it is specifically stated here that the Lord's form is itself completely pure consciousness. Consciousness is the primary spiritual element distinct from any of the material elements, and even distinct from the subtle or psychological material elements, mundane mind, intelligence, and force ego, which are simply a psychic covering over pure consciousness. Since the lost form is made of pure consciousness, it can hardly be understood as a material body, like the mortal bags of flesh and bones we carry around in this world. In the last two lines of this verse, there is poetic emphasis on the word Saba, everything. The Lord is everything. He is the seed of everything and is the soul of every creature. Therefore, let us join with Indra in offering our obeisances to the Lord. Gurave Gurachandra, Yahradika Yatadala, Ye Krishna, Ya Krishna Bhakta, Yata Bhakta, Yamamo Namahan. Again, a tremendous Yaganan Ganan Salaka, Ya Taxusmitan, Yenetasma, Sri Gurave Namahan. Namamo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Pistaya Bhutale, Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jinamene. Namaste, Sarsati Devi, Gorabani Pitarine. Nevis is such anybody Pashta Destarine. Banja Kapa Turubias Chakripa Sinibuchapati Tanam. Pavana Vibhu, Vashna Vibhu Namona. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Alveta Gadahara Sivasati Gorabhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Indra is praying. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning to the morning discourse on the Bhagavad Purana, and especially the Srila Devotee Prabhuji. So, we able to, hopefully by the mercy of the Lord and His pure devotee, we can be able to say something along this line of the prayer of Indra. So Indra, of course, he realized his mistake. Not just mistake, the great offense of trying to punish the Vrijavasis, because Lord Krishna stopped the sacrifice that is meant to him. So even though Indra, is the lord of the three worlds, the heavenly planets, these planets, because the king of heaven, but from time to time he forgets his position. Because of his godly might, he forgets that he's a servant. He's not the ultimate Lord. But sometimes he thinks that he's the ultimate Lord because he has such a powerful position. And it's also very, very powerful. It's also a great mystic, Indra. So he becomes very proud of his position. So even though, yes, Indra is a servant of the Lord, so Indra momentarily forget that, but the Lord knows that this is a wandering servant. So therefore, the Lord wants to show Indra exactly, to put it at its place. But the Lord does it in a way, not by direct attack at Indra. He did not attack him. He did not try to chastise him. The Lord simply showed his own magnificence. He convinced the Vrijavasi that, don't do this, Indra Jaga. After all, what can he do? He has no independence. What can he do? Don't perform this Indra Jaga. Instead, worship the Brahmanas and worship the cows and worship Govardhan. Because this personality, they're actually above Indra. They're above the devotees. Govardhan is devotees, the cow, Krishna's favorite. Krishna loves the cows. So their position is higher than the position of Indra. But they are very, very humble, because devotees naturally they are humble, they're submissive, they just want to give pleasure to Krishna. But the demigods, they forget their position. Even though demigods, they are supposed to be actually, because they are also in the mode of goodness, Satagun. But because of being contaminated by the material qualities, by the because of their contamination, so therefore they often, you know, misunderstands their position. Just like in the early chapters, we find Lord Brahma, who wanted to see, he wanted to test the position of Lord Krishna by stealing away all the cowherd boys and the cows. Again, the Lord simply, without any disturbance to his own pastime, to his own lila, he simply manifested another set of cowherd boys and cows. And his pastime was going on, you know, just like before. So ultimately, in Brahmaji, he came to understand his position, and then of course he offered prayer. So after Indra, when he was sending torrents of rain, thunderstorms, and all that to Govardhan, and he see that no matter how much forceful he try, still Govardhan was not affected, because Krishna was holding Govardhan on the tip of his finger. He was holding Govardhan. So essentially, Govardhan, having been in touch with Krishna, he became non-different from Krishna in terms of energy. Everything became non-different from Krishna. So no matter how much harder Indra tried to, you know, punish Govardhan, tried to create destruction to Vrindavan, still he was totally futile. He could not do anything. So Indra became very perplexed. And then, seeing the power of Krishna, what is gone, he said, oh, he then started realizing that, what have I done? And then became very fearful of his position. First of all, he went to his guru, Brihaspati, tried to get advice from him that, what should I do? I've committed this blunder. What to do? Brihaspati said, I have no advice for you. How can you be so stupid? There's no advice I can give you. And then he went to Lord Brahma. So he went to Lord Brahma explaining what has transpired at his position. So Lord Brahma also said, you know, how can you do such a thing? How can you be so careless? I cannot do anything for you also. I can't do nothing. And then, of course, then Lord Brahma, he explained the glories of Lord Sri Krishna to Indra. He explained the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, his energy and everything. And then he advised Brahmaji that he better go and offer prayer to the Lord. Go offer prayer. But you should go along with Surabhi, because Krishna is always very affectionate to the cows. And that's why he's called Govinda. He's the Lord of the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devayogu Brahmana Itaya Cha. We offer obeisance to Krishna because he's the Lord of the cows, the senses, the Brahmanas. So Lord Brahma advised him that you go to Lord Krishna to offer obeisance, along with Surabhi cow, and to beg the Lord for forgiveness. Now, so Indra went to Surabhi and requested her to come along with him to Vrindavan. Surabhi, of course, is now there is a Surabhi of the Vaikuntha of Sprich Golokdham. The Surabhi that came with Indra is not the Surabhi of the spiritual world. This is because there's another Goloka in this material world. This is explained by the Acharya, that there's another Goloka in the material world, in the higher planet. So it's the Surabhi there that came with Indra, because The scribe of a spiritual world, Indra, has no qualification. He has no access to such personality. So he's the scribe of the spiritual world. Just like Vashishtha Muni, he also had one of those surabis, surabi cow. Surabi cow basically, they fulfill all desires. So along with surabi, Indra came to Vrindavan. He came to Vrindavan. Now, it's not that Surabhi is interested in coming to Vrindavan with Indra to beg the Lord on behalf of Indra, but she is very much interested to come to Vrindavan and to offer her gratefulness to the Lord because the Lord has protected her offspring, the cows, had protected them from the deluge of Indra. So the Lord had protected them. So Surabhi much wanted to come to Lord Sri Krishna and offer prayers that the Lord had protected, her cows. So in the Arivamsa, there's a text which shows that because when Lord Krishna, he had come to Vrindavan, after lifting Govardhan Hill, and the Govardhan Hill was finished, and then the Lord set Govardhan Hill back on the ground. So the next morning, the Lord came to see Govardhan. He came to see Govardhan because he wanted to basically give comfort to Govardhan, because after Govardhan for more than 7 days, he tolerated this torrent of rains and thunders being sent by Indra. So which means the Govardhan, he had absorbed so much suffering. So the Lord wanted to come. The next morning, the Lord wanted to pacify, to give comfort to Govardhan. So Krishna, he was sitting on the base of Govardhan when Indra came along with Surabhi. This was early morning. So it's mentioned, this is from Arivamsa, Tam Bhiksha Balam Mahata Tejasa Diptam Mavyayam Gopa Vesa Daram Vishnu Pritim Lebe Purandaraha Tam Sambu Jalada Chayam Krishnam Srivatsa Lakshanam Payapcha Nayanan Sakra Puna Puna Udakshata. So because Indra, he had the vision of, he saw Krishna, so Viksha means to see, he saw Krishna. So Indra, his name is also Purandara because Indra has so many, many names. He saw Krishna sitting at the base of Govardhan Mountain, beholding the boy whose deeds are unimpeded, who had great radiance with his fiery energy, who had the attire of a cowherd, and who is Vishnu. Indra felt love. So Indra was, when he saw Krishna's, sitting by the base of Govardhan, so Indra felt some kind of joy within his heart that, oh, yes, my Lord, yes, Krishna. He felt joy within his heart. He continuously looked at Krishna, whose luster resembled the sheen of a dark cloud, and who had the characteristics of Srivatsa, and thus gratified his eyes. Even though, yes, Krishna is cowherd boy, it's Naravat, he has a human-like form, but still, he's still the Supreme Lord. Even though he assumed a human-like form for the sake of his devotees, and in this human-like form, he performed so many, many wonderful pastimes. But still, is this the Supreme Lord? He's always having a Srivatsa, the line on his chest. So that characteristic is always there. So when Indra saw Krishna, he saw Krishna, even though as a cowherd boy, that age, Krishna is like just 7 years old, young boy. But he could see that this is not just an ordinary boy, this is the Supreme Lord himself. This is the Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Lord himself. So, in this way, that, and then coming with Surabhi, so Indra started to offer his prayer, to beg forgiveness from the Lord. To beg for, you know, we have to know that even though Indra had committed such a big havoc on Vrindavan, still the Lord was not angry with him. The Lord was not angry. Krishna wasn't angry. He just, you know, sitting by the base of Govardhan. Because after all, you know, all the material qualities, everyone is affected by the material qualities. Which means the goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone in this material world is affected by that. But Lord Krishna is not, because his body is Vishuddha Sattva, his body is his transcendental body. He could not be affected by material loss, greed, anger, or any of those things. But everyone else is affected by it. And that's why the Lord is always addressed as Vishuddha. His form is said to be Vishuddha Sattva, which means transcendental goodness. Vishuddha Sattva was the Sattva Valambi para, was the Parasattva Vishuddha Sattvan. When Lord Brahma is praying, Sattva Valambi Parasattva Vishuddha Sattvan Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Lord Brahma is offering his prayer to the Lord, that the Lord, he has the his form. It's, even though he's the basis of all existence, and his form is of pure goodness. So Indra, he started making his prayer. So in the beginning, we have been reading the various prayers that Indra, because Indra, he wanted to beg forgiveness from the Lord, but in doing that, he's extolling all the transcendental qualities of the Lord, the Lord's transcendental qualities. How is everything? Is above everything. So like the text we are reading today, it says, Chanda Dehaya Vishuddha Gyana Motaye Sabashmai Sababhijaya Sabha Bhutatmane Namaha. So here it says, Sachando Pata Dehaya. So the Lord assumed a transcendental body according to his own desire, and also according to the desire of his devotees. So the Lord manifests his form of pastimes. So this manifestation of the Lord's form is according to either his own desire or according to the desire of his devotees. Because there are many, many devotees of the Lord. There are varieties of devotees. And devotees, they have a particular bhav towards the Lord. They have a particular mood. And is this mood, according to the mood of a particular devotee, the Lord will manifest himself differently to that devotee. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, about how different devotees or different persons, how they perceive the Lord's form in different way. So when it was said that when Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa, Krishna was seen differently by different persons. This is not working. Sorry, there's one verse I'm looking for. It starts with Malanam. Malanam, you know that verse? That starts with Malanam, which is when Krishna entered the arena of cancer, he's seen differently by different person, different devotees. I think that's sometimes this electronic don't want it get problems sometimes. Yeah, no, but this is very is a very important verse. It's a very, very important verse. It's a very important verse. I will get it. Yeah. Okay. It's Malanam Ashani Ninan Narabaraha. Srinam Smaro Multiman Gopana Sajano Satan Chikti Bojan Sasta Sapitro Sishu Mritu Bojapati Virat Abidoshan Twatam Param Yoginam Vrishinam Paradevati Bit Vidyuto Rangam Gaja Sagrajaha. So he said, the various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it. When he entered with his elder brother, the wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relatives, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of the Bojas as death, the intelligent as the supreme law's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their support, as their supreme worshipable deity. So same Krishna, but is seen differently by a different person. So basically, as devotees or trying to be devotees, our worship of the Lord is never the same. Our worship of the Lord is always different. So which means the move of worship of a devotee cannot be the same as the move of worship of another devotees, because everyone has cultivated different bhavs in their process of during the Saranam Bhakti. Everyone is developing different bhavs. And the manifestation of the Lord will be according to the bhav of that particular devotees. And that so that devotees will the worship, the mode of worship, will be according to how, based on the bhav which devotee has developed, and that the Lord will manifest himself to that devotee according to that particular bhav. So like Srila Swami, he quoted a verse. He said, Raudhva Bhutas Cha Shringaro Asya Viro Dayas Tata Bayanakas Cha Vibhutsaha Santasa Prima Bhaktika. So there are different moods which are there, the fury, the wonder, the conjugal attraction, the laughter, the asharas, shibari ras. So different moods is there. And the Lord appear, he manifests himself differently. Just like here in the Lord's Vrindavan pastime, why the Lord is a friend to the gopas, and he has different manifestation, and to the gopis is their lover. But to Mother Yashoda, Krishna is always their child. He's always their child. He's always Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is always child. Even though Krishna may be in a kishore, you know, older and all that, you know, dancing with the gopis in the forest, but to Mother Yashoda, Krishna is always their darling child. She's always ready to offer a breast milk to Krishna. So that's a mood, and that mood is eternal. It's eternal mood. It's not something that is temporary. So basically, when devotees, when they've developed a certain ras with the Lord, that ras is eternal ras. It's not that one day one is in Santa ras, one is Dasya ras today, and then tomorrow he becomes, it comes to Dasya ras, or next day become Vatsya ras, or next day you come to Madhya ras. The ras is perpetual. This is called Stai Baba. It's eternal. It's the particular ras that devotees assume has developed. This is eternal. So when the Lord manifests himself, so he manifests himself according to his own desire or according to the desire of his devotees. So he manifests himself, and he manifests himself accordingly. So this is so Indra is saying in this prayer here that that yes, my dear Lord, you manifest yourself according to the particular, according to your own desire or the desire of your devotees. So therefore, is glorifying the Lord's form, the Shuddha Dhyana Motaye, the transcendental body, which is his body is transcendental. And Vishuddha, which is a pure consciousness. And then he's saying, Savashmai, Savadvijaya, you are everything. You are the seed of everything. And you are the soul of all creatures. Sabhabhutatmani Namaha. So your obeisance is that, oh Lord Krishna, you are the soul of all creatures. You are everything. So therefore, my obeisance is unto you. So, just like in the purports, which the commentator whereby they are saying that let us join Indra in offering our obeisances unto the Lord. And of course, the obeisances that we are offering, so the Lord has unlimited qualities. His qualities cannot be estimated. In his prayer earlier, Lord Brahma said that he said that a day may come when somebody or some scientist may be able to count the how many atoms are in the ocean, how many sand are in this desert. A day may come when they may be able to count. But no one will ever come to the end of your transcendental qualities. No one will ever come to the end of your transcendental qualities. So therefore, the Lord, the devotees, they know the Lord is full of all transcendental qualities, and these transcendental qualities is unlimited. So therefore, with a joyful heart, they always offer their prayers, unto the Lord. And then with this joyful heart, with this great understanding, they're able to render their service to the Lord. That yes, this is the real master whom I can render service to. So this one is a great way of contemplation. That when Srila Rupa Goswami, when he was describing in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about how devotees develop attraction to Krishna, what is the basis of this attraction to Krishna? So it's explained by through this that the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So therefore, we know about these transcendental qualities either from direct experience, if we are fortunate, or through the mouth of others, by hearing from others. Just like Indra, he was able to witness the power of the Lord by his own direct experience. Said, even though he was sending so much torrent of rain, still he was unable to effect anything. He could not even move a blade of grass on Govardhan. He could not even do that. So he was able to directly witness the power of the Lord, his power. And then, of course, when he went to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma also explained to him about the Lord's transcendental qualities, about the Lord's glories. Lord Brahma also explained to Indra. So Indra, he has direct experience, and also he also heard from the great authority. So therefore, he became humble, of course, and he came to Vrindavan to offer his prayers. Now we know that different categories of devotees, they will have different mode. And as I said, that the mode of devotees, that mode is permanent. Now, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and he tried to convince the Brijabasis that yes, Krishna is the supreme Swayam Bhagavan, is the supreme absolute truth, and that there is no need for them to lament for Krishna, because this is after Krishna had left Vrindavan. So Uddhava came that way. There's no need to lament for Krishna, because after all, Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Krishna is Paramatma with everything. But Nandamaraj said, no, you Uddhava, you don't know what you are talking about. Krishna is my son. Krishna is not God. He may be your God, but he's my son. He's my son. How can you tell me that Krishna is God? Because I know Krishna, but you don't know Krishna. I know him. He's my child. And just to tell you that Krishna is my child, and then he started describing all so many, many wonderful transcendental qualities of Krishna. He was describing so many Krishna's qualities, pastimes, and then he was crying and all that. So, actually, we're going to learn in the next chapter, chapter 28, after Nandamaraj was kidnapped by the servant of Varuna. And that time, the Brijabasi, they were able to witness Krishna's power, Krishna's direct opulence, direct power. Even though Krishna doesn't really like to show his power in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan, he simply wants to remain as a sweet Krishna, whereby everyone have a loving relationship with. But sometimes, from time to time, Krishna sometimes his power is displayed from time to time in Vrindavan. So when Brijabasi, when they witnessed, they asked Nandamaraj about his son, that who is your son? Is Krishna actually your son? You said that Krishna is your son. Is he actually your son? So Nandamaraj said, yes, Krishna is my son. But however, when he was born, Gagamuni said that this child of yours is not an ordinary child, because this child of yours will have the same power of Narayan. We have the power of Narayan, so therefore, this is your special child. So therefore, Nandamaraj said that, what Gagamuni has said, come through. After all, we have seen how Krishna killed so many, many demons, and all that, you know, so many things. But because this is just to prove the word of Gagamuni, but Krishna is my child. That, so in this way, the Lord manifests himself differently. Even though yes, he's everything, he's a Paramatma, he's Savashra, but still, different devotees will have these different feelings. And of course, the Braja mood, the mood of Vrindavan is to simply see Krishna as a, you know, because there's no conception of Swayam Vrindavan, Krishna being Vishnu, being the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is in Vrindavan, it simply means the most lovable personality that everyone wants to have a direct relationship with. Even though his opulence is there, for example, during the Ras Lila, there are millions and millions of gopis. But Krishna, he manifests himself into unlimited numbers of gopis of Vrindavan. But still, every gopi thinks that Krishna is only with me. Krishna is with me only. That's what everyone was thinking. So anyway, I'm going to stop here. There is a lot to discuss in this subject matter of Krishna's transcendental manifestations. It's conveying, manifesting himself to different devotees according to their particular bhava. So, Hare Krishna. So, guys, some comments? Question? Okay. The back side. Hare Bhagavan.
So Krishna is known as equal to everyone, but then he also gives favoritism to the Pandavas and or devotees. And it seems as though the demigods are always, you know, his favorites. So how do we see Krishna as being equal to everyone, but at the same time showing special favoritism to certain devotees?
Yeah, so it's so favorable to, it's so favorable to certain devotees. I expect those who have completely surrendered unto him. So it seems to be, because it was Manusha Patasa, but he said that, Yayatama Prapadyante, that as one surrender unto me, I give reward accordingly. You know, so it's equal to everyone, but for those who give up everything else, we only know only Krishna. So therefore, there's a certain reciprocation that the Lord gives. But at the same time, you know, when Krishna killed the demon, he also gave them liberation also. Even though the demons, they are, but still he gave them liberation. Just like Putana, for example, he gave Putana the position of a mother. So the law is, it's actually difficult for us to really understand the law. We can't really understand him. You know, that's what Lord Brahma said. He said that everyone said that they know Krishna. Everyone said they know you. He said, for me, he said, let them talk. As far as I'm concerned, yeah, your transcendental manifestation is just be totally, even Lord Brahma with his forehead, he has forehead, and he's full of intelligence. He says, still, I cannot understand you. So how, those who surrender to him, he gave them special protection. But demon also, he gave demons also liberation also. All those demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan, they all got liberation. You know. So how do we reconcile this thing? Maybe you want to comment further?
No, it's okay. Maybe somebody else has a question.
Okay. I mean, you can give commentary that how we reconcile that. Yes. Special for his devotees, that he also give liberation to the demons also. Yes. Yeah, this is Mataji at the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you were speaking about different bhavas, that we have different relationship with Krishna. Yeah. And we see the different spectrum of relationship. Like we look at Bhishmadev, right, in his chivalry relationship, and the gopis in the Madhurya Ras, they like so different.
Yeah.
So with the bhavas, are some relationships better than others, or they're on the equal platform, they're just different because we have different needs?
I mean, if you study from the from the neutral point of view, from the neutral circumstance, we know that yes, one bhava is higher than the other one. Just like the bhava of Vrindavan is higher than the bhava of the Pandavas, you know, or the bhava of the Akabasis, you know. But that is from the study from the neutral position, from neutral view. But in aside from that, to a particular devotee, to them, their particular situation is the highest to them. For example, Anuma, he's a servant of Lord Ram. But when Krishna sent Garuda to go and call Anuma to come and see him, Anuma refused. He said, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm very old. I'm too tired. Because Krishna sent Garuda to Dwarka, to Anuma to call Anuma to come to Dwarka and see him. Anuma said, oh, I'm too tired. I'm too old. And all that. I cannot come. You know. And then, when same Garuda, he went back to Anuma, said that Ram want to see you. So Anuma immediately jumped up. Said, come on, let's go. He immediately jumped up. So different mode, different from the Lord appeared to different devotees. And that particular mode is the topmost. Anuma says, Srinati, Janakinati, Chabida, Paramatmane. You know, said that even though Janakinath or Narayan, they may be the same person, they are the same, but still, where is the Ramapadma Lord, she said that still my head is always at the feet of Lord Ramachandra. So that's the mold. You know, every devotee, this their particular ras, that particular mold is the topmost. That's the topmost. And the Lord manifests to them that way. So that's why I mentioned this verse that the Swachandra, but you said that yes, the Lord manifests himself according to the desire of a particular devotee. So we have to develop our own particular desire. We're never the same. Every devotee is not the same. You know. You wanted to say something? Ask a question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for a nice, inspiring lecture. I liked particularly when you said that Krishna is full of unlimited transcendental qualities. Mm-hmm. It clicked in my mind something. I understood something. I never think about it like that. And actually Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that avajanantimam mudha, that the non-devotee materialistic people take him as an ordinary person. Yeah. And Krishna also says that unless you love me, bhaktiya, with bhakti, you cannot know me. He
yeah,
says
like that.
And so I understand that as a neophyte devotee, as long as I don't have a pure love for Krishna, something muda is still inside my consciousness, and I cannot appreciate really the unlimited beauty of Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna is unlimited.
Yeah.
By bhakti, Krishna will give us some mercy. So that's the only way is Krishna. The only way is bhakti.
Yeah.
Bhakti ananya sakya. Then only by bhakti cannot be understood. Okay. Oh, Prabhu wanted to make a comment.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, this question was raised how Krishna can be equal to everyone at the same time. He expresses some sort of partiality to his devotees. But Prabhupada said it is not a matter of discrimination. It is a matter of reciprocation. I don't want to go into the whole thing, but the whole thing is explained beautifully in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 29, which is Samuham Sarvabhutishu. Prabhupada's purport says it all. And so I suggest that we read this purport. It explains, nobody can explain as good as Prabhupada. It's right there. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Good, thank you.
Hare Krishna. One more?
Okay, one more. Because, okay.
Thank you.
Good.
So, in regards to both the Prabhus, their explanation on if Krishna is partial and at the same time, yes, reciprocation, like you mentioned, yeyathamam prapadyante. I found that this example of a teacher or an examiner who examines an examination paper, if a student has done 60%, then he gets 60 marks. Let's say each mark is one mark for each answer. Mm-hmm. And if somebody who answers all the questions correctly, they get 100. So it's a matter where the teacher is not partial in one sense. Mm-hmm. So it's the devotees are like the 100% student. So the reciprocation is also 100%.
Yeah. And we also have different grades of devotees. Also.
Sorry?
We also have different grades of devotees.
Yes.
Devotees are not just one. They are also many, many grades.
Yeah.
Some are more exalted than the others. Like
yes. But in one case, Krishna says, I cannot reciprocate with the love of the gopis.
Yeah,
let your own glories be your own compensation.
Yeah.
That verse, Naham Parai in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's where the verse, Yeyatham Ham Prapadyate, it's the only place where it fails.
Exactly. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Gantrasmi Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopi Menande.